more than anything else, overjoyed assurance of salvation. Amen? Do you have assurance of salvation? Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning, let us continue to study the book of Romans, chapter 7. Chapter 7, from verse 7 to verse 13. Seven verses. Especially Romans chapter 7 is the discussion of the law, L-A-W. Okay, let us read Romans chapter 7 from verse 7 to 13. Alternatively, okay. Verse 7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" The answer is certainly not. "Indeed, I would not have known what sin was, except through the law. For I would not have known what the word coveting is one of the key words to understand this verse. Coveting really was, if the law had not said, do not covet." "Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment," same word, "the law came, sin sprang to life, and I died." "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, law, deceived me, and through the commandment, the law, put me to death." Together, "Did death which is good then become death to me? By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become mortally sinful." Sin is utterly sinful. Last time, in the first part of this chapter, from verse 1 to 6, we saw our new relationship to the law because of our union with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. If we are united with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, surely our relationship with the Lord is that we died to the law but alive to Christ. We are not under the law but under grace. Amen? Then somebody might object, somebody might argue, saying like this, "What good is the law if we do not need it any longer?" And in answering to this objection, in second part, from verse 7 to 13, we read already, Paul explains the ministries of the law. So, according to this passage we read from verse 7 to 13, we can see the ministries, the businesses, the jobs of the law. We can see four ministries of the law. ministries that function even today. Okay, let us see one by one what the ministry of the law is even today. Okay. First, number one, the law reveals sin. Means the law defines sin as sin. The law exposes, 폭로하다. The law exposes sin as sin. Shall we read verse 7? Verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was. If the law had not said, do not covet. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, through the law we become conscious of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Without law, no sin. Without law, no lawlessness. The law is a mirror that reveals to us the inner man and shows to us how dirty we are. We need to note, Paul does not use as an example murdering, killing others, committing adultery, stealing, robbing. But Paul uses what is as an example? Coveting. Yes, it is not difficult to know that killing others is a sin. Do you agree? Committing adultery is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Robbing, telling a lie is a sin. Anybody, everybody can know that. But it is not easy to know that coveting is sin. Why? Because coveting is not outward action, but inward attitude. Then almost every human being has a covetousness, greed, to a degree. You know, coveting. Do not covet is the last of the Ten Commandments in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, we can see the Ten Commandments, 십계명. Then, do not covet is the last of these Ten Commandments. You know, coveting leads to the breaking of other nine commandments. Also, covetousness is an insidious sin that most people do not recognize in their own lives. Then God's law reveals it. For example, the story of the one young rich ruler in Mark chapter 10 is a good example of the news of the law to reveal sin, to show a man for his need of a savior. We know the story of the rich young man. You know? The story is like this. One day, a young man came to Jesus Christ, kneel down before Jesus Christ. And this young man said to Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to receive, to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Then you know the commandments, do not murder, do not kill others, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Then young man said, all these I have kept perfectly since I was a boy. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus said to this young man, one thing you lack, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven and come again, follow me. It means, follow me means, I will make you my disciple. At this young man's face fell down. He went away sad, in great sorrow. Why? Because he had great wealth. Yes, no question, this young man was outwardly moral man. It may be certain that he had never killed anybody, never committed adultery, never given false testimony, never dishonored his parents. But when Jesus said to him, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, the commandments, do not covet, had revealed to him what a sinner he really was. Even he did not realize how covetous he was. He did not realize coveting was a sin. But the word of God revealed coveting is sin. So Jesus did not tell him about the law because the law would save him. But Jesus told him about the law because he did not realize his sinfulness. He never faced sins within himself. This world says, develop your coveting, develop your greed for your development, for your success, for your victory in this world. But Bible says, coveting is a root of all kinds of evils. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, such as sexual immorality, impurity, greed, evil desire, bad desire, selfish desire, and greed, covetousness. Bible says, greed is idolatry. In Korean, 탐심 is idolatry, 우상 숭배. Bible says, the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with great griefs. That's why the Bible says, be content, be satisfied with what you have. What do you have now in your hands? Bible says, be satisfied, be content with what you have now. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be renewed your mind, your hearts, by renewing. Then you will be able to see and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The pattern of this world is develop your selfish greed. Are you Christian? To us, the Christian, the pattern of this world is not standard. Even what others do is not our standard. Even what all other people do is not our standard. Our standard is what? Our standard is the Word of God. Our standard, please remember, if you are really born again Christian, wherever you may be, whatever you may do, our standards, your standard, our standard, my standard is what God says in his book. That book is the Word of God. So first, the ministry of the law is the law reveals sin. Number two, the law arouses. Arouses means stirs. The law arouses man's sinful nature to sin. Wow, what does this mean? Is the law good or bad? Is the law itself good or bad? Good. You know, verse 12 says, so then the law is holy, righteous, good, and spiritual. Why? Because the law is from God, who is holy, righteous, good, and spiritual. Then, the ministry of the law is the law arouses sin. How is it possible for the law, which is good, holy, righteous, to provoke us to sin? You know, there is no problem in the law itself. The problem is human nature, which is sinful. Sin has evil power. Shall we say it together? Sin has evil power. Yes, sin has evil power. Sin uses our sinful nature to rebel against the law. Just as in Genesis chapter 3, we know the story of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. You know, the serpent, the snake, symbol of Satan, the serpent used the word of God to make man fall, saying, did God really say to you, you must not eat from any tree in this garden? No, you can eat. You can eat this fruit. If you eat this fruit, you will surely not die. You will become like whom? Like God. Then to the eyes of the woman Eve, that tree looked good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom. Then from Adam, all human beings have inherited sinful inclinations. So, including you and me, honestly speaking, by nature, we have strong desires to do that which is prohibited, not allowed by the commandments of God. You know, we know there is a saying, stolen apple is more delicious. Stolen apple is sweeter. Forbidden things look more fascinating, more interesting, sometimes more exciting. For example, mom going to shopping and says to her children, my loving children, do not open this box. Yes, mom, we know. We see again with big emphasis, never open this box. Absolutely open this box. Mom's saying, do not open this box. Make children desire to open this box quickly just one time and see inside and close forever. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the strength, the power of sin is the law. Something in human nature wants to disobey whenever the law is given. As we know in the story of Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, at first, Adam, our first physical father, lived in innocence, in perfect surroundings. Then a commandment was given him not to eat that fruit. That law, that commandment was given for his good, for his happiness. Then the serpents came and subtly turned this prohibition into temptation. The fact the tree was not allowed made it look desirable. So Adam was seduced into sin. That was the result. A theological scholar named Philo allegorized this whole story like this. The serpent is a symbol of pleasure. Do you have a pleasure? Do you want pleasure? The serpent was pleasure. And Eve stood for what? Senses, sense, feelings, emotions. And Adam stood for reason, which is stronger, more powerful, sense or reason. As it always does, pleasure wanted the forbidden things and attacked through the senses. Through the attack of the forbidden things on the sense, reason was led astray and death came. A man may reason with his conscience, saying to himself, oh, other people are doing it. So even if I am doing this same thing just this one time, it will make a little difference. You know, man's desires, man's feelings are stronger factors in controlling himself than his reason, knowledge, or understanding, or willpower. Yes, the knowledge of the commandments does not restrain him from breaking it because of his strong passions. Do you have passions? Do you have desires? Okay, no problem. But as a Christian, we must put our passions, our desires, our feelings, our reason, our knowledge, our understanding, our willpower under the control of the Holy Spirit. We must give total surrender. We must give holistic commitments to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May God bless all of us. Okay, Number three, the ministry of the law. The law kills. Wow. The law kills. The law kills a man. You know, if you are outside Jesus Christ, the law kills you. Do you know that? That's why we must be inside Jesus Christ. Bible says there is no more condemnation of the law for those who are in Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let us read verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11, I found that the very commandments that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandments, deceived me and through the commandments put me to death. Means the job of the law is kills. Excuse me. Galatians, you know, the final job. Yes, there are many, many jobs of the law. Then the final, ultimate job of the law is introduced in Galatians 3:24. Galatians 3:24 says, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Shall we read? Okay, you open, because this verse is key verse to understand the relationship between law and Christ and us. Galatians, please, I suggest you strongly to keep this verse in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and apply in your daily life. Galatians 3:24. Shall we together? So the law
was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen. Another version says like this: the law is our guardian, our teacher, private teacher, tutor, our tutor. The law is our tutor in leading us into Christ. It means the law says you must go to Christ to have life. Unless you go to the Christ, you shall die eternally. You know, Romans chapter 10, verses 4 says, Christ is the end of the law. You know, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for anyone, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Yes, this short sentence, Christ is the end of the law, has many, many meanings. And one of many meanings of this sentence, Christ is the end of the law, means the law is the signboard pointing to Jesus Christ. You know, if we go to Seoul, we must follow signboard. Signboard points to this direction, to Seoul. Then if we do not follow this signboard, and if we follow opposite direction, we go to Busan, not Seoul. Then the law is the final signboard pointing to Jesus Christ. You must go to Jesus Christ to have life. Why? Because only in Jesus Christ, real life, true life, eternal life, heavenly life, abundance life can be found. Jesus says continually in John chapter 5:24, I tell the truth, whoever hears my voice and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, shall not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The thief, Satan, comes only to kill, to steal, to destroy, but I have come so that you may have life, to have it to the full. We know Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know. What does this mean? Practically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It means practically, I am the way to life. And that is true. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Means practically, I am the only way to life. And this is what? False or true? True. This is truth. This is truth. And even the reason why the book of God is written. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God. So by believing that you may have life in his name. First John chapter 5, verse 11, 12 is very clear. This is testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in Jesus Christ. So whoever has Jesus Christ has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, does not have life. In a sense, we can say we are studying about the law. In a sense, gospel and the law different or same? Hallelujah. There is a book named the Gospel and the Law. 복음과 율법. Somebody says like this, Old Testament is the book of the law, New Testament is the book of gospel. It looks different outwardly, but inwardly, as a result, gospel and the law are same as a result. Why? Gospel is, if you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you will live eternally. This is the gospel message. Then the law is, if you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you shall die eternally. The same. Just like two sides of one coin. Before going to last part in the ministry of the Lord, let me repeat just one more time. The gospel is, if you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will live how long? Eternally. The law is, if you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you shall die. You shall be killed. How long? Eternally. Okay, let us go to last part. Number four, the law shows the sinfulness of sin. Do you hate sin? Or a sinner? We heard many times, God hates sin, but God loves sinner. Okay. Number four, lastly, the ministry of the law is, the law displays the sinfulness of sin. Let us read verse 12 and 13. Okay. Verse 12 and 13. So then, the law is holy, and the commandments is holy, righteous, and good. 13. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good. So that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Sin might become utterly means exceedingly sinful. It means the law reveals, the law shows the sinfulness of sin. Yes, even we know unsaved people, unbelievers know that there is such a thing as sin. Even unbelievers know that killing somebody is a sin, stealing is a sin, telling a lie is a sin. But they do not realize the sinfulness of sin. Even today, many Christians do not realize the true nature of sin. Even today, some Christians may excuse their sins, our sins, with the words like, my mistakes, my weaknesses, human nature, instincts. No, this is not true. Sin is sin. The Word of God shows the sinfulness of sin. God condemns our sins. Yes, we must believe there is no condemnation of the penalty of sin for those who are in Jesus Christ. But God, who is good, holy, righteous, perfect, condemns our sins and tries to get us to see that they are utterly sinful, exceedingly sinful. Until we recognize, until we realize how wicked sin really is, we will never once oppose it and live in victory and holiness. You know, Psalm 19:12 says, who can understand, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. The conclusion is, the root of all problems is sin. Do you have any problem, any kind of problem, spiritual, physical, financial? Anyway, the root of all problems in this world is sin. Then we have hope. We can rejoice because there is solution. There is answer. The answer of all problems is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The reason, the purpose why he appeared in this world is written 1 John 3, 5. You know, we know Jesus Christ appeared in this world so that he might take away our sins. Why? Because in him is no sin. Only in Jesus Christ is no sin. Shall we say it together? In him, no sin.
No sin.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We worship you. O Lord God, we cannot express how thankful we are, how gracious, how merciful you are. It is absolutely impossible to express your goodness, your gentleness through our limited human language. But we thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, control of the Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for your gift in our living parts. Thank you for our passion, zeal, feelings, senses, reason, knowledge, understanding, willpower, volition. Help us, anoint us to put all these things, our senses, our feelings, our passions, our desires, our reason, our knowledge, our decision, determination, under the control and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Please help us to walk by the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life set all of us in Jesus Christ free from the law, from the power, from the principle of the law and sin. We are absolutely free from the penalty of sin, punishments of sin, simply because we are in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Help us to remember all the time we are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in us. Wonderful, perfect union and identification in death and resurrection and victory and glory. This is our praise and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.